9 o'clock. Today is Monday, November 8, 2010. I'll call this regular meeting of the Commissioners of Portage County Council to order. For the record, we'll note that notices have been posted for the appropriate amount of time preceding this meeting. Let's stand and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioner Field, would you give me a minute?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all your many blessings, and thank you so much for the wonderful rain that we've had the last couple of weeks. It's been such a blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with this court, and we, decisions that we make, may it always be for the best interest of the people of this county. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for our leaders of this state and the leaders of our nation. And we pray that they might always lead in a way that we might be able to worship thee in freedom and also meet in public meetings and carry on the people's business. We ask you to be with our men and women that are overseas that are serving this country. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you bring them home safely. Just always be with us, guide us, and protect us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Item number one on the agenda is public comments and or requests for information on non-agenda items in accordance with section 551.042 of the government code. Now, do we have it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Had to get all that out. Item number two, presentation regarding the Titus County Pass-Through Program, i.e., aka Blue Project. Jenny.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
We've sort of entered in that phase on the 271 project where I know everyone has been out and along the project and seen the work that the H.H. Howard has done in regards to clearing, and they are almost wrapped up with their work, so it's nice to see that progress as well as it has. We were very lucky. I know everyone has wanted some rain this fall, but it's been nice to have some dry weather so they could complete their work. And really, that's been the focus of our activities for this past month, you know, making sure that they get everything progressed the way that needed to be and get them hopefully wrapped up. The schedule looks like they will wrap up right before Thanksgiving with all the work that's under their contract, which will allow the utilities to begin moving and be relocated. Right after that, the 271 design is just about finished. We've been working with TxDOT and the designer to address some of the issues that have come up in the last couple of months and get that wrapped up. And we expect to submit for final approval the design of 271 December the 3rd, I believe. And so that will allow us, TxDOT will turn that around, and that will allow us to begin advertising. With the holidays, we wouldn't start advertising until right after the first of the year, just so that it doesn't get caught in the holiday season. But right in January, we should be awarding the roadway contract for 271, which I know is a major milestone and one that everybody has worked really hard to achieve. So it's nice to be able to get to that point.
How long will the utility relocation take?
It can be ongoing. Because the corridor is so large, it can be ongoing, being wrapped up while the roadway contract is started. I believe the current schedule shows 120 days in total from the time we start launching utilities, which most of them will start their work right about, in the next week, actually, that you should see quite a few of them on the alignment. And they should be wrapped up by the end of February, if depending on the weather if all goes well. The good thing, because this corridor, the right-of-way was acquired for the full build-out of the project, while we're only building the interim phase of it. So there is room for utility relocation to be ongoing and not be in conflict with the construction. And what we've done is gone through and sort of prioritized how we want the utilities to move so that we do get the ones that would have an impact to the construction, such as some of the pipeline crossings that are crossing perpendicular to the alignment, get them out of the way first, and then everything that's going, you know, parallel to the alignment can come during construction. But it should, there shouldn't be a conflict, or it's not only those that are, that are, you know, perpendicular or on the critical path at this point. As far as environmental work, really we're trying to, the only thing left is the environmental clearance, the award of FONSI for FM 1000. Everything is at FHWA, and we're just waiting to receive the FONSI on that project. We environmental team finished the design sheets that are required for to be included into the final design package. That was wrapped up this week, and so little by little we're sort of doing the housekeeping, making sure everything that needs to be in the final design package, environmental, the permits, as along with the engineering plans, are all put together and ready for that December submittal to TxDOT. You know, it's we're trying to anticipate when we would receive FONSI on the FM 1000. FHWA has been a little slow lately in turning decisions around. You know, it was our hope that we would have it by this point. You know, at this sort of at this juncture, I'm guessing that it's probably going to be around the 1st of December before we receive that FONSI. The right-of-way team has already started its preliminary work on FM 1000, which is really, you know, getting the FONSI. The biggest thing it does for us is let the right-of-way start for FM 1000. So they've done their preliminary work. They will not be contacting property owners until we receive the FONSI, but right after that they should begin to contact property owners, and the appraisals will be wrapped up. And so I would say by, you know, especially with the holiday season, by the 1st of January we should be hot and heavy into the acquisition for FM 1000. By that time, the acquisition for 271 is complete. Acquisition for 2348 is virtually complete. I think there's another 7 parcels that are still in negotiation. Wrap those up, and so then that'll be the end of both the environmental and then seeing the end of the right-of-way phase of the project, which is of the 3 projects. As far as the other design, as I said a while ago, 271 is nearing a completion and scheduled for submittal December 3rd. The design for 2348 is also complete. We're waiting on just a couple more of the access points to be negotiated with property owners so that can be included in the plan set. And as soon as we've wrapped that up, then that set can be submitted to TxDOT also for approval. And so that'll put 2 of the 3 out of the way. FM 1000 design, again, we had to hold until we got through the environmental phase. They've included the couple of changes that were required from the environmental clearance to be added into the FM 1000 plans. And now as the acquisition of right-of-way starts and the negotiators begin to negotiate access points with the various property owners, they will put that into the plan set and that will wrap that up. So we're little by little getting to where our primary focus is only going to be in construction, which will be nice. As I said a while ago, the clearing and grubbing for 271, there's just very little work left to be done in the midsection of the project, mainly, that they've got to get in and clear, but we're anticipating that they'll be done before Thanksgiving week. And then the FM 2348 clearing and grubbing plans have received initial approval by TxDOT. We've completed the final submittal set that we will send through once we set a date for the letting. And again, we're looking at when the right-of-way will be wrapped up so that we could go ahead and start advertising that and ensure that we have the sufficient right-of-way to let a contractor go and clear the entire land.
Can you have a question?
Yes, sir.
I know what the right-of-way easement is on 271. Is that the same on 102348?
As far as the width? You know, I can't tell you off the top of my head, but I'll get the answer. I believe we have taken, it's a much smaller right-of-way. I can't remember, because those are only existing roads that we're widening, where 271 is a major thoroughfare corridor. I just don't remember the width of the right-of-way through there, but I can find out and let you know, Commissioner.
120 or 50?
I think it's 150 is my memory, because we weren't, I mean, there's a nice right-of-way out there already, and we're just taking a little more from basically either side. But where on 271, we took up to 400 feet and 500 in some spots to accommodate a future build-out of the facility. So much less impactful. And again, you know, because both of those projects are road widenings, you know, it's the right-of-way is taking from people that maybe, you know, hadn't been impacted before, but it's not like it's a brand-new corridor, and so it's not as much of a surprise, I think, as the 271 corridor was to the various landowners. So we're hoping that one runs smoothly as well. There's about, I think, the number of parcels on FM 1000 is just a little more than on 2348. In the high 20s, because a couple I think have been taken out by design, and so it should take approximately as long, you know, as we've been on FM 1000.
Well, it'll be built to FM.
To FM standards, yes, sir. Where the other one is much different.
Like, and those are like 2 12-foot travel lanes and 10-foot shoulders.
Yes, sir. That's right. And those two projects will remain a flex space pavement, where the 271 project we've converted over to a rigid pavement for longer wear because of the traffic volumes. So the only other thing that for both of the FM projects that would need to get done is the environmental mitigation and archaeological data recovery. Potentially there's a site on each project. The team was supposed to be in the field last Monday for 2348. The rain precluded that from happening. They're coming into town this afternoon, should start work later on this afternoon, and should be wrapped up by Friday on 2348. So then that just leaves one final one on FM 1000. But again, we can't be out on that, you know, on that property until we begin right-of-way acquisition. So it's you know, I would say by the time that we get to, you know, the first of next year, you know, the reports that you hear from us are really going to focus only on construction of the three projects, whether it's full construction on 271, we'll be doing clearing and grubbing on 2348 at the same time. And then FM 1000 doesn't really need a clearing and grubbing plan the way the other two projects have been. So that one, as soon as acquisition is completed, we'll go straight to the roadway construction. So it's by mid-year next year, all three projects will be hot and heavy into roadway construction by our current estimates. So I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone might have.
Question?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Item number three, consider possible approved minutes.
I've spoken with the county clerk, and she's in agreement with the corrections that I offered, and I move that they be approved.
Second.
I got one.
What do you got?
Yeah, I got one on number five on page four, the roadway and cattle trace additions. Says according to my specs, his specs, those are not mine, those are county specs.
We made that correction, that was one of the ones that he was talking about.
Yeah, I saw her just before the court, and I mentioned that one.
Oh, okay.
Instead of his, it's ours.
Okay.
Motion by Commissioner Boggs, second by Commissioner Kenny, to approve the minutes from our October 25th meeting as corrected. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Item number four, consider possibly approve accepting the bid for roof repairs at the Sheriff's Department. Each of you have a packet of information, I believe, on roof repairs. Sheriff, you want to read through this?
Yes, sir, we've made a decision on the company we'd like. I'll let Chief Dixon, Chief Jill here, explain it to you. We also brought the gentleman that owns the company with us in case you have any questions for him.
We got three bids that we received on the roof. First one was with Hefner Roofing, which gave us $186,550. Now, in July, Hefner Roofing had come to the judge and I and proposed to repair the roof for $400,000. Now we get a bid for $186,000. There's a definite large difference in numbers there. And when he came up to the roof and explained what he was going to do, there was no channeling the water. They weren't going to change, the roof was just going to stay flat. We're pretty much going to end up with the same thing we currently have, which leaks. So KR Construction was the next at $241,071.15. They were close to what Lawn Smith Roofing is. They didn't mention raising the air conditioners and putting pads under. He did not send any information in on his bonding company for me to check. And as far as the complete package of what Mr. Lawn Smith Roofing has presented to us, it was only about half of what they're actually going to complete. If they would do everything that Lawn Smith Roofing has proposed, their bid would be at least higher, I'm sure, than what we currently have. Lawn Smith Roofing proposed $280,781. They were very thorough. The drains need work, which he included in there. There's also an expansion seal that's missing. He's going to replace for nothing. Tear the roof completely off and start over. It's going to be all completely brand new. And the roof will be completely, the water will all be channeled where it needs to go.
And this roof will have a pitch to it? Or?
Yes, sir. And Hefner's weren't going to put a pitch in. So this roof will have, and it pitches in four different directions. So I feel that we're going to recommend Lawn Smith Roofing. He was the most thorough. We checked his bonding company out. They have an A-plus, or they have an A rating through AM Best Company.
Were you able to contact anybody to take down a roof on?
Yes, sir. I've contacted five different people that they did roofs for. One of them that comes to mind was a Ford dealer, and I don't remember where he was at. He said he'd been there for 3 years, had five different roofers, and this is the only roofer that could repair his leak. I talked to a sheriff out of Wise County, and he said he had three different roofers come in before they got this company to come in, and they fixed his leak.
What is the timeline on doing this?
Probably, I figured 30 days based on the weather.
Okay, yeah.
And you own your own company, correct? You're not a subcontractor. You're I'm a vice president.
Right.
Corporation, yes, we're there. But I believe what we ran into before was we had a company to actually hire another company to do the work, and that's where we come into the problems. But this is not happening here.
Yeah. It was subcontracted to someone else, which in fact was Hefner Roofing.
Let's talk about warranty versus bond. Okay. My understanding, the bond is for payment performance.
Correct.
sir. Tamco would be the manufacturer that we'd be using, and I've given you all two options, a 10-year no-dollar limit warranty and a 20-year no-dollar limit warranty. During that warranty period, Linesmith Roofing would be responsible for the first 2 years, and then they pick up the remaining portion.
Well, what if they go kaput? Who's gonna pick up their portion?
I'm sure they've got...
That's what we've gotten into with this last deal.
Well, Tamco has been in business since the 40s.
Yeah, so had whatever the Smith or whoever it was, and he had the other one there.
I would have to ask them. I would have to contact Tamco to find out. Most of the manufacturers have got a insurance that covers their warranty.
We would like to know who that is.
Okay.
And just for our own information, we've not been able to find anybody that has assumed any responsibility for Hickman. Hmm. And I've been on the internet looking, and normally there is a, you know, if somebody buys a company, then they have to assume those warranty responsibilities.
Right.
So I've not been able to determine whether anybody acquired Hickman, or if it just went out of business, or if they had a bond company that assumed responsibility for their warranty work or whatever. So I think it'd be real important for us to know who their backup is in case something were to happen to them.
I'll check on that today. Okay. And let you all know. And if they don't have a backup, then I'll check on GAF, because we represent them also.
Yeah.
And they're probably the largest roofing manufacturer in the United States.
Yeah, well, I think it's very important for us to know that, Judge.
After the last incident.
Yeah. But I don't know if that has any bearing on going ahead and awarding this bid today.
I have one question on a project of $280,000. Tim, do you have anybody in your department that you could pull and serve as a daily overseer or liaison or something with the court?
Yeah, John Livingston. We could pull him and do that.
Who?
John Livingston. He works in our jail. He, John Senior. And yes, sir, he'd be a good one to put up there and oversee.
Just, you know, another set of eyes, I think.
Right. Yeah, we could do that. Sure could. Would we have a problem?
No problem.
No problem.
He does all our maintenance and everything now.
Yeah, he's up on the roof a lot, working on stuff and helping and checking the air conditioning units, so he could be a good one to put up.
Well, the main thing we've got to do is get the roof fixed so we're not out for a big program. I mean, that's...
Yeah, yes, sir.
And the $280,000 includes a 20-year warranty, not the 10.
Okay.
Judge, would it be advisable to act on this under the condition that you approve of the insurance arrangements through GAF or Tamco?
Well,
or do you want to table it until the next meeting?
I think we need to go. We need to get this thing underway before we start getting a bunch of money. But, I can sit here and approve all that. Oh, yeah, they say such and such. But we just kind of need to have the information. I think we need to go and get this bid awarded and work started. I'd be happy to look at the information they submit. But
I think that would be what we need to do, have you review it.
But we need to go ahead and reward the bids now, because we need to get started on this.
Because it sets in and starts raining. These control panels and all that gets way
up. He says he'll get that for us today, so, be checking on that.
Yeah, after the meeting, I'll call the local rep and get the information.
Court office.
Well, y'all can explain to them what our situation is. We got stung on the last one and have no way of knowing who might ultimately be responsible in that deal. So, unfortunately, y'all are a victim of the times.
the motion, Judge.
To award the bid to...
To award the bid.
Lon Smith Roofing.
Lon Smith Roofing.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Hockaday, second by Commissioner Fields, to award the roof repair bid to Sheriff's Office to Lon Smith Roofing. And that's, the bid amount is $280,781, and that's everything, right?
That's for the 20-year warranty.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Yeah, if y'all get that information, Lon would appreciate it. Item number five, consider possibly approve the purchase of a pumper truck. Is it a pumper truck? For Cookeville Volunteer Fire Department, tanker truck, pumper truck, some kind of truck, Wesley.
Yes, sir, the last time I was here, I feel like I misled the court to a certain extent, because I was under the, what I read was April 1st, 2011. On or before was right before that April the 1st. Every time. Anyway, and it is before, just by a long shot, that I thought it was going to be this early. $155,000 is what TFS is paying on the grant with cost share of 10%, which is $17,500, $172,500 overall on tanker. What we're actually paying for is $176,470, which is $3,970 more that Cookeville's picking up. So on some extra stuff that we had put on it that we felt was would be good for the community. So.
So the county's portion would be $17,500, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
What we do is pay the full amount, and then Texas Forest Service reimburses us the $155 or whatever.
What I understand is about 3 weeks after they come out and check the truck, about 3 weeks whenever they...
It's the same process we've been through on Tri-Lakes. Is that what?
Yes, Tri-Lakes and Nortex.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Okay. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Have a motion by Commissioner Boggs. Seconded by Commissioner Hinton to approve payment, our portion of the payment, approve the purchase of the truck for the Cookeville Volunteer Fire Department. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Huntsville, November 14th through the 19th. Their motion?
Go ahead, Phil. Make motion approve traveling seminars, county employees.
Second.
I'll second that, yeah.
A motion and a second to approve traveling seminar for county employees and elected officials. Motion by Commissioner Henry, second by Commissioner Bowers. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, that motion carries unanimously. Item number seven, approve oral reports to county officials. Are there any oral reports to be given? You've got some written reports in the packet. Our cash report, we've got some money in the bank, Carl.
Again, my job's been last time, some of the different funds might show the negative numbers, but those funds are all in one bank account.
Right.
We got a report on the park out there, Mike, since they had the festival out there.
The jamboree. I think every hookup we had 28, every one of them was filled that whole week. Everything that I know of, it really went well. It was even bigger than last year. More people showed up, so I think, people are starting to find out about that. We had people from all over Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana. I think some people out of Missouri was there, so they're starting to find out about it. I think it was very successful, and I think it's just going to get bigger and better every year.
Does this balance in here reflect that, or you don't know? Probably doesn't.
Probably does not.
Did we receive any kind of fees or?
We waived the fees to get into the park, but for the water and the electricity, we get a fee for that. And usually that time of the year, we'll have three or four campers there, and we had 28 spots. Plus, we have campsites for people that want to put a tent up or something like that. There's no charge for that, but you have electricity and water hookup. You use one of those sites, there is a fee.
And how much is it?
$7.
It's good to see that it doesn't have a minus box anymore. It said it's not in a minus part of the thing.
Okay.
At least it's breaking even, like it's on.
Judge, I move we approve them. Written report.
Second. Motion by Commissioner Boggs, second by Commissioner Henry to approve oral written reports. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Report from Pedro Technologies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just want to give you a quick update on the state of the computer systems in the county. Right now, the NetData iSeries conversion, the latest information we have is that we are waiting right now on RVI optical-to-optical conversion to complete. That's a process that's still ongoing. It usually takes about 2 weeks, and they did start about 2 weeks ago. So they should be wrapping that up here fairly quickly. The information we've been given is that it will, depending on the size of the files, it could take as much as a month from when they start the process, so potentially we could be still a few weeks away before that process is complete. We can get more information, I suppose, through John Paul if we have to get a specific date, but I'm assuming within the next week or two we should have something and we'll be able to finish that conversion. For the ticketing system, I'd like to just give you an update. This is a list of all the tickets that have been submitted into our online ticketing system over the last 30 days. Most of the information on here is related to the sheriff's office and such. A lot of the different department heads are not yet using the new ticketing system. We do get a lot of phone calls still, emails, that kind of thing. We're trying to get everybody kind of just converted over little by little. But these are just the tickets that have been submitted. As you can see, most of these here are coming in from the sheriff's office. They're very good about using the system, but we still have to get information to all the other departments and try to get everybody to doing this online. For example, I was here helping out with Seth all of last week, and every single thing that both Seth and I were doing last week with JP1 or county clerk or whatever, none of it was actually submitted in the ticketing system, yet that was an entire week's worth of work that isn't being reported here. So what we'd like to be able to do is get everybody on the ticketing system so we can give you a much more comprehensive list of what exactly is going on in the county on your systems. And we'll be working on that probably over the remainder of this month and into December, trying to get the last of the department heads working on just using the ticketing system exclusively. The security system, the completion of that is imminent. We're now, I don't know if you've looked on the website or not, but it's on the completion stage, so we should be wrapping this up very shortly. There's a few computers that we still need to go in and eyeball, make sure that all those systems are frozen, but pretty much every system that was intended to be on the new security system is in place. There's a few that I know of in particular that need to still be looked at and frozen. There's been some new computers that have come in that have to be addressed. That's just an ongoing process. But in terms of the original Windows XP machines that were in place, most all of them are now frozen. There's just a few that we still have to go back and take care of. The viruses on the network. I don't know if you've been noticing, but all the virus reports are starting to finally vanish. The few computers that have still been issues are the ones that they themselves are just passing the virus amongst themselves whenever one of them gets infected. But all the secured computers are now secured.
And this is the domain controller.
Right, exactly.
Why does it not cover those others?
Any computer on the network that's not part of the domain would not be covered. So in other words, if I were to go and grab a laptop and plug it into the network, it would still be completely wide open, and any other computers that also happen to be on the network would be able to spread. Only those computers which are registered and logged into the domain controller and that have our security software on them would actually be protected. So those systems are still immune. But like if you were to buy a brand new computer tomorrow and hook it up on the network without anything else done to it other than just turning it on right off the box, it could become infected just as easily.
Are these computers that you're adding on, are y'all trying to get those where they will not be spreading viruses?
Up until Windows XP was no longer available, yes. What we would do is we would bring in a brand new machine before we would set it up. As a general rule, if it was purchased through us or if we had access to the computer before it went on the network, we would lock it down and secure it. Starting with Windows 7, which is now all that's available, that would be an additional cost, and I'm not familiar with how that's being handled. Any new machines that are being purchased either outside or just being brought in, or we've seen some laptops and stuff being hooked up to the network, those systems, of course, would not be part of the package. Any kind of computer that was attached to your network could potentially be a threat to those computers that are also not protected. In other words,
why would we be hooking laptops up to the network?
Well, we've actually done that here in the corporate before if something was wrong with our own. So we have done that, mm-hmm. And I know you have looked at the
laptop. Right. And that would just be an example. Let's supposing there was a virus on that laptop, something that was acquired from home, for example. Then as soon as that computer is attached to the network, depending on the type of virus, it could then spread to every other computer that was also open.
Well, a laptop shouldn't be used at all until it's either...
In theory, no computer should be hooked up to our network, but... But there are some cases where it's simply out of our control. Like, for example, public access terminals. I mean, you can't really control what somebody is going to do with those machines. And since they're not secured, you're still going to have viruses potentially.
Well, I asked that question when we first got it.
Right.
Where the public would have access, is it going to be secured? And I was assured it would be secured.
Right. Those computers will be secured. But what I'm saying is if somebody were to bring a computer into your network, I mean, I could just, if I had like a laptop and I hooked it up over here on the side and just plugged right into your network, I'm in your network.
The only ones that should be getting into our system is people that work for the county.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Nobody else should be able to.
Nothing should ever be hooked up or until we're sure it's secured, because the county is paying for those laptops. It should be secured before it's ever hooked up.
Right. Ideally, it should be. But what I'm trying to say is, in the event that something that shouldn't happen does occur, all your systems are still going to be protected. That was the intent. We wanted to make sure that these machines could not be infected regardless what happens, because sometimes we're just not aware of what occurs. If someone does bring in a machine and it is infected and they do hook it up on the network, then any computers that were also unsecured would have been potentially affected. That's what we're trying to stop at this point. We want to make sure that every machine is secured, so that in the event one machine is added, it would be the only machine that could be
infected. If somebody hooks up a laptop that's not secured, you can go in there and find out who hooked it up. But all elected officials and all employees of this county should, nobody else should be able to have the access to hook up to our system.
Right. And it doesn't need to just be laptops. I mean, it could be an old computer, one that has been taken offline, hasn't been used for a year or two, and then the computer is added to the network to pull some files.
Yeah, but see, no department should be putting with computers. They should be letting y'all do anything instead of a computer. So if you run across one,
right, that's not supposed
to. You need to report it to the court.
Okay.
We need to know specifically which office is, if that happened.
Right, right.
Put a computer on that y'all didn't put it on, because the county's buying all of them, and when they buy them, they're supposed to be turned over to y'all to be hooked up. Nobody else should be hooked up.
Right.
And that's basically what I'm saying. Y'all are responsible for hooking these up. Nobody should be on there. If somebody does hook something up without y'all's permission, you should be able to find who hooked it up.
And report it to the court. Right. Maybe if it read, maybe something.
Well, our system has to be secure.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And of course, you know, the next question comes up in cases like, for example, a new machine, something that's purchased that's running Windows 7, of which that would require an additional licensing, which has not been addressed up until now. I'm assuming each individual department would be responsible for the purchase of the software for the security on those individual computers, but that's not something I'm familiar with. I don't know how that's
going.
Yeah, okay.
But the approval of buying it,
okay, right. I guess my question would be, in a case where, let's say, we have a department that goes out and buys three new computers,
right,
but then does not get them secured, do they get attached to the network?
Then you need to let us know who did that.
Okay.
We'll address that.
Okay.
Because the computers are bought through the auditor's office, commissioner's court's approval, and then they're supposed to be given to y'all and installed. And if they're not doing that,
okay. That's no problem. I can give you guys a report of any new computers that are added to the network and make sure that each of them are being secured.
I would, and the court, I'm sure as a whole, would like to do this, but anytime there's a new computer, I want to know if it's secured or not.
Okay.
We need to be told that we bought three new computers, they went in this office.
Sure, and here's what
they are. They are secured if that has been addressed.
We should know.
I want to be sure that everything is secure.
Right?
Okay.
Now,
well, I can.
That might be 2 or 3 weeks before they actually install or something. But again, should be one of the items that he reports.
Right.
We put the three computers in the JP's office or wherever we installed them, and we made sure that.
Right.
I
mean, I can tell you just from the last week that I've been here, I know three new computers have been installed over at JP1, none of which are secured at this point.
So y'all didn't install them?
We did install them. We've put our systems on there, but they're not been paid for. We cannot license those.
What I'm saying, and I'm speaking for myself,
right.
What I'm saying, before those computers are put in,
right.
I want to be told that they are secured. They should not be put in unless they're secured.
Is it not our policy that even when you're using records and management money or technology money, that those purchases still need to pass through the court?
Before they're bought.
Before they're bought. Well, we can assure that by making the purchase contingent on the security systems that K-Bro can install, that those
right.
things be purchased under those conditions. Also, I think the intent of the court from this summer's meeting with name of the company? Pardon me? No, the no, the from TAC.
Oh, yeah. Sierra.
From Sierra, is that we do need an IT committee
mm-hmm.
where we can that can make judgments based on who needs them, how many, and when they can be purchased, so that these things can be done economically, purchased in bulk, and also we can retire computers that have outgrown. Yeah, so
right.
Hopefully we can get that committee set up soon, and
that would be ideal.
In the meantime, basically,
the court has to make the
right now,
purchase using that department's R&M or IT funding.
Right. Okay, so just so I'm clear here, I want to make sure.
You spend it that way, it needs to go through the court.
Right, right. And I think that's a great idea that it should be made mandatory in order to add anything to the network. So just so I'm understanding this correctly, at this point, any new computers, the only way we should be attaching them on the network is with security or not at all. Is that the gist of what I'm getting? No problem. Well, like I said, they're secured under a trial of 30 days. So just the software has to be initiated before then or it will not work. So that's not a problem.
Well, about 4 or 5 years ago at uh-huh. A&M, and I went to a class down there, and we need to do everything we can to secure everything in this courthouse. All the people that should have access is the people in this courthouse and the people that's coming up to get their information. And we sure don't want somebody feeling that we don't have a secure system in place.
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely agree. Wireless could be potentially another issue. I don't know enough about the topography of the network, if anybody is using wireless routers for remote access, but that would be another venue that we'd have to look at as well and secure them, because one of the concerns could be then that a computer could be used wirelessly, not physically plugged into your network, and still spread viruses as well. So we just need to look at that, and I'll check.
I don't think we have it at the courthouse. I've got it. One of my businesses, but it's.
Well, you're also fairly remote. You're not.
Yeah.
Well, you're not accessing the network anyway. Right.
No, I'm not with the county.
Yeah.
Business.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as to my knowledge, I have not run into any wireless routers in the network.
What about flash drives?
Flash drives potentially can carry viruses on our secured computers. They cannot pose any threats. Obviously, on an unsecured machine, it would be, so it would really be the same exact issue. Once all the computers are secured, flash drives are just like a CD. They're no threat at all. You would not be able to access any viruses that way. One other issue I did have here, at some point in the past, and I don't have a date here, there was a request for some battery backups for the network equipment room, and we still need to get approval on that. I can have Sean regenerate another quote if need be, but that's something we just need to look at some point in the future. It's not pressing. It's just that if we lose power, it'd be nice to be able to keep those systems running, even if it's just a spike.
Would they be able to run on the battery backup?
Battery backups aren't really meant for long term. It would be more like for brownouts or for power outage of just maybe 5 or 10 minutes. They really aren't meant to go much longer. You can get much more expensive units. It's really not, the cost to the benefit is not worth it. Just a simple, $300 standalone unit is usually sufficient for most servers and things of that nature. That's what I'm using.
You're talking about $300.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to check the he said that he had generated a quote, yeah, and it has just hadn't been approved. I don't know who had received that, but I'll have them.
Well, they probably need a requisition is Sean permitted to submit a requisition on the county's behalf? Who would sub-
Probably he needs to make the request probably to the judge, and the judge needs to issue the...
Okay. Use that procedure. I don't think we'll have a...
That's basically all I have.
There's nothing I can come from the order addresses on that. The AS400, has that been replaced now, put in place and all that?
That was the I-Series. They stopped calling it that. But yeah, it's basically, that's what we're waiting on, that optical conversion. And it should be fairly quick.
What are we looking at the life of that system?
Of which system?
The I-Series.
I believe most of their systems are 5 to 7 years lifespan.
We need to always plan on every 5 years.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We need to, since we put it in there, we need to look at 5 years and see how the system's doing and get an evaluation on it. But we need to go ahead and get a new system.
Of course, to you all the time, though, just to get us on top of that. We just got to learn from that.
Well, the technology committee, they will have an inventory of all equipment and potential lifespan and replaced on a gradual basis so that we're not hit with a big bill, but we'll have a pretty good bill every year.
Are there any questions?
Thank you.
Neil?
Thank you.
Make a motion to table it.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Clinton, seconded by Commissioner Boggs to table the action on the treasurer's report. Special amendments, do we have any comments?
No, sir.
Y'all had a chance to look at the bills?
We did, sir.
Their motion?
So moved.
Friday's a good day for me. That's impossible. I don't do it now.
Judge, I won't be leaving any time for the next 2 months, so I'm sure that any day would be fine.
All right. All turkeys and hams.
And deer.
You talk to deer.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.